seemed deserted and harder to walk through than usual. "Does Sir wish me to shave him, or will Sir do it himself?" "I get nervous if people hold blades near my face," said Vimes, "but if you harness the horse and cart, I'll try and get to the other end of the bathroom."
"Very amusing, sir."
Vimes had another bath, just for the novelty of it. He was aware from a general background noise that the mansion was busily humming towards W hour. Lady Sybil was devoting to her wedding all the directness of thought she'd normally apply to breeding out a tendency towards floppy ears in swamp dragons. Half a dozen cooks had been busy in the kitchens for 3 days. They were roasting a whole ox and doing amazing stuff with rare fruit. Hitherto, Sam Vimes' idea of a good meal was liver without tubes. Haute cuisine had been bits of cheese on sticks stuck into half a grapefruit. He was vaguely aware that prospective grooms were not supposed to see putative brides on the morning of the wedding, possibly in case they took to their heels. That was unfortunate. He'd have liked to have talked to someone. If he could talk to someone, it might all make sense. He picked up the razor and looked in the mirror at the face of Captain Samuel Vimes. Colon saluted and then peered at Carrot.
"You all right, sir? You look like you could do with some sleep."
10 o'clock, or various attempts thereof, began to boom around the city. Carrot turned away from the window.
"I've been out looking," he said.
3 more recruits this morning already," said Colon.
They'd asked to join Mr. Carrot's army. He was slightly worried about that.
"Good."
"Detritus has given them very basic training," said Colon. "It works too. After an hour of him shouting in their ear, they do anything I tell them."
"I want all the men we can spare up on the rooftops between the palace and the university," said Carrot.
"There's assassins up there already," said Colon, "and the thieves' guilds have got men up there too."
"They're thieves and assassins. We're not. Make sure someone's up on the Tower of Art as well."
"Sir?"
"Yes, Sergeant?"
"We've been talking, me and the lads, and, well..."
"Yes?"
"It'd save a lot of trouble if we went to the wizards and asked them."
"Captain Vimes never had any truck with magic."
"No, but..."
"No magic, Sergeant."
"Yes, sir."
"Guard of Honour all sorted out?"
"Yes, sir. Their cohorts are all gleaming in purple and gold, sir."
"Really?"
"Very important, sir. Good, clean cohorts. Frighten the life out of the enemy."
"Good."
"But I can't find Corporal Nobbs, sir."
"Is that a problem?"
"Well, it means the Honour Guard will be a bit smarter, sir."
"I've sent him on a special errand."
Can't find Lance Constable Angua either."
"Sergeant," Colon braced himself. Outside, the bells were dying away. "Did you know she was a werewolf?"
Captain Vimes kind of hinted, sir."
"How did he hint?"
Colon took a step back.
"He sort of said, 'Fred, she's a damn werewolf. I don't like it any more than you do, but Vetinari says we got to take one of them as well, and a werewolf's better than a vampire or a zombie, and that's all there is to it.' That's what he hinted."
"I see."
Sorry about that, sir."
"Just let's get through the day, Fred, that's all. A bing, a bing, a bing, a bing bong." "We never even presented the captain with his watch," said Carrot, taking it out of his pocket. "He must have gone off thinking we didn't care. He was probably looking forward to getting a watch. I know it always used to be the tradition."
"It's been a busy few days, sir. Anyway, we can give it to him after the wedding."
Carrot slipped the watch back into its bag.
"I suppose so. Well, let's get organised, Sergeant."
Corporal Nobbs toiled through the darkness under the city. His eyes had got accustomed to the gloom now. He was dying for a smoke, but Carrot had warned him about that. "Just take the sack, follow the trail, bring back the body, and don't nick any jewellery." People were already filing into the Great Hall of Unseen University. Vimes had been firm about this. It was the only thing he'd held out for. He wasn't exactly an atheist, because atheism was a non-survival trait on a world with several thousand gods. He just didn't like any of them very much and didn't see what business it was of theirs that he was getting married. He'd turned down any of the temples and churches, but the Great Hall had a sufficiently churchy look, which is what people always feel is mandatory on these occasions. It's not exactly essential for any gods to drop in, but they should feel at home if they do. Vimes strolled down there early, because there's nothing more useless in the world than a groom just before the wedding. Interchangeable Emmas had taken over the house. There were already a couple of ushers in place, ready to ask guests whose side they were on. And there were a number of senior wizards hanging around. They were automatically guests at such a society wedding, and certainly at the reception afterwards. Probably one